Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We refer to it as our COVID vacation. Fall of 2020, got a little bit stir crazy. Airplanes not doing much flying. We enjoyed a good old-fashioned road trip to the Grand Canyon because we had never been there. It's true what they say. It's a big hole in the ground. It was a nice big hole in the ground. We stayed in motels, got some great rates and upgrades. When we traveled, the passenger, usually me, would look it up on the phone, make a call, and book tomorrow's room this afternoon. When I was young, that's not the way we did it. I could tell when we were no longer poor because we started eating out more and going on actual vacations to Mount Rushmore. Yeah, we went to the Corn Palace, Missouri, St. Louis, Merrimack Caverns, the Ozarks, out east, the Monticello, Williamsburg. My mother was the travel agent. She made the reservations at a Holiday Inn or a Howard Johnson's by phone and put the check in the mail. And then I got married and found myself once again poor, and we did a lot of camping. When we were able to afford it, we started staying in motels. You would call on the phone, maybe give them a credit card number, be there by 6 o'clock. But if you didn't do that, and my mother did not always do that, we didn't always do that, you just keep driving on it until you come to a vacancy sign, and the no is not lit up, and how long is that going to be, you just never knew. So back in that day, Mary did not call ahead to make a reservation. Nobody put a check in the mail. The passenger did not look it up on the phone and make a call. When they got to that destination, a little town called Bethlehem, Luke says there was no room for them in the inn or the guest room. Paul Meyer, Lutheran pastor and theologian, talks about the incredible paradox, irony, what happened at Bethlehem. History's greatest figure was born not in a palace or mansion, but in a cavern stable. This was not the holy couple's first trip to the rodeo. Both Mary and Joseph are in the hymnal. She is called Mary, Mother of our Lord, and her feast day is August 15. He is called Joseph, guardian of Jesus, and his day is March 19. Their firstborn, her firstborn, is going to be circumcised on the eighth day. Luke tells us that. Not everybody did. Not everybody had their babies circumcised on the eighth day. A few weeks later, they will take him to the temple for those customary rites. Not everybody did. When Luke tells this familiar true story, the familiar true story about the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, he starts off by telling the reader, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. It would have been possible in those days for a person living in Nazareth to not leave that town for their entire life. Mary and Joseph weren't like that. Those two got around. And it seems to us a rookie mistake ending up in that little town with no place to stay. How does that happen? Well, going to Jerusalem would have been more familiar, much larger, much many more lodging places, likely with family members. They were going to Bethlehem because it was Joseph's ancestral home. He had relatives there. They would probably have been distant relatives, but relatives all the same. Maybe, probably, their plan was to stay with one of those relatives, family. So when Luke talks about what the translators render in, not talking about the Hyatt or the Marriott. He's not even talking about the Super 8. The chain motel, as we know it, followed the automobile and the interstate highway system, beginning with Holiday Inn in the 50s. Before that, travelers were just looking for a room for the night, just looking for a place to stay, maybe attached to a tavern, maybe not. Luke uses that same word, translated guest room, for the place where Jesus went to observe the Passover with his disciples. And if you recall, the people who furnished that upper room, we know it as, were known to Jesus, and Jesus was known to them. And it's more likely that you'll let a person you know borrow a room or stay for a night than a stranger, and families even better. So there being no chain motels or motels, call it an inn, of any kind in a town like Bethlehem, if you were in a small, strange town looking for a place to lay your head, I think I would go first to family. And Mary was at term. She was ready. Luke tells us here that they were engaged to be married, but they were not married. Luke tells us that there was no room in the guest room for Mary and Joseph. The irony Paul Meyer talks about might well be relatives who turned away the Virgin Mary because small country, everybody knows everybody's business. No, sorry, our guest room is unavailable. Paul Meyer calls it a paradox, which is not incorrect, Jesus being born in a stable. I call it irony, and whatever you call it, John observes the same in his gospel. Luke's birth narrative is the one read every Christmas Eve. It's pretty straightforward. John's birth narrative is a bit more cerebral. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. He made all this, John reminds us, in the beginning. He made all this, including the first things made. So when he said, let there be light, it was. And in his gospel, John, having taken us back to creation, says, the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people received him not. And the ironic paradoxes started early in John's gospel, and they continue like that the whole time. Paradox. Two statements that seem to be contradictory, but upon further examination are not. Dr. Elliot Engel, University of North Carolina, says that irony is the police station being broken into. Great irony is the police station being broken into and robbed. Irony, an incongruity by what between what might be expected and what actually occurs. What might be expected. What would you expect it to look like when God comes into the world? Stars, plural, falling from the sky. Sound of trumpets. Angels harvesting and separating the wheat from the chaff. The glory of the Lord. That's coming. Wait for it. That first time, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room. I didn't even know there was a satanic temple of Iowa, but you might know that they put up a display in the state capitol. I guess it's since been vandalized and removed. Sorry about that. For those of you who are wondering, they've been doing that for several years at the state capitol in Illinois. You're going to get that in a place where freedom of religion is not only the law of the land, it's in our founding document, the United States Constitution, the First Amendment. For about 500 years, the Europeans, for their part, have been moving back to the norm, the pre-Christian state religion. After the Reformation, the Europeans fought wars over which Christian denomination would be the religion of those various places. So France ended up being Catholic. Saxony and Germany was Lutheran. Holland was Reformed. That state religion has not been good for Christianity in Europe. That and theological liberalism have been bad for Christianity. So, if Christianity here was the state religion, you could order the Satanists out of the Capitol and all government buildings. And you could pass laws assuring that all Americans keep Christ in Christmas under penalty of law. But because of the First Amendment, freedom of religion, that's a Christian thing. Religion in America is competitive, and even those who worship Satan, which is a horrible thing to do, have the right to do that. But if you go into any of those places where you have a nativity scene here, like this one, and a satanic scene over here, we win that visual every single time. Their display is centered on the head of a goat. The head of a goat. We have that great true story. Mary and Joseph. Hard journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The baby's born in a barn. He's bedded in a feeding trough. Have livestock-owning shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And it's beautiful. And they have the head of a goat. And they got that from us. You know, Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. It's like they're saying, yeah, we're the goats, and we're, good luck with that. Now enter the glory of the Lord, which appeared to those shepherds out in the fields, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and it's been a while since we've seen that thing. The glory of the Lord, the visible presence of God among his people, makes the first of its 30-plus appearances in the Old Testament during the wilderness wanderings after the Exodus. The glory of the Lord is seen in the cloud that led them by day. The glory of the Lord rested on Sinai when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire. And at night, when they set up the tabernacle, it's like a tent, but it's a really nice tent, the glory of the Lord dwelt there. And when the temple was later built, it could be found on the Ark of the Covenant, where the wings of the seraphim come together on top. One time the Philistines made off with the Ark, but in the end, they wanted nothing to do with that thing. They gave it back. And then the ark falls off the face of the Old Testament. Nobody knows for sure what happened to the ark, but Ezekiel tells us in many and various ways that with the departure of the ark, so God's presence among his people left. It has departed, the glory of the Lord, says Ezekiel, but it's coming back. Wait for it. Prophets often speak of future events in past tense because that's how certain they are of their prophecy. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Wait for it. Habakkuk goes even further. The earth will be filled with, I think everybody knows about Jesus pretty much in the world. Not everybody believes him, but most people, he's very well known. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And wait for that as well. Now, it's time. the glory of the Lord, the physical presence of God among his people, shone all around them, and they were filled with fear. There's a lot going on there. Fear, uncertainty, not understanding how you can be pregnant when we have, when we haven't. A lot of angels doing a lot of explaining. Stop being afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be to all the people. Just go into town, the city of David, and you will find a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is how you will know it. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. That's a little bit ironic, don't you think? That word sign, it means miracle. The mighty acts of God, the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the walls of Jericho and like that. And that one time when he sent fire down to light the altar Elijah had built and drowned the wood in water. And the fire lit the wood. Look at how awesome is our God. Signs. This is the sign you should look for. A helpless newborn with all the trimmings, wrapped in whatever rags his mother could lay her hands on out back in the barn. And oh, he'll be bedding down in a feed trough. That will be your sign. That's where you will find the glory of the Lord, the visible presence of God among his people, in the cloud, on Sinai, in the tabernacle, in temple, now embodied in a very small human. As John puts it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That Word become flesh, the physical presence of God among his people, doing signs throughout his life, preaching the word throughout his life, and then he was crucified. As innocent on the day, as on the day he was born, crucified for our sins, for he had none. And he rose up from the dead, killing death and bringing eternity to life. And then all the work he was born to do was done. So he ascended back into heaven, where he now abides at the right hand of the Father. And this morning, right here, he traveled to this place. On the altar here, the physical presence of God, in, with, and under the bread and wine. And tomorrow morning, he'll do the same. Here and all over the world, the presence of God in the world, the glory of the Lord, that baby born to Mary, the Savior of the world since the ascension. Since he left here, he gets around. He gets around. And he is more present now in more places since he ascended than he ever has been. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.